Jason Walker from PeachtreeHoops.com to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Are you really listening to the conference or while you're talking to us or what?
Check your timestamp on that. It was at 4 o'clock.
I just got the tweet on my phone for the phone tweet must be a little.
Well, you must have it set up to refresh every hour, which puts you like in the 2%, the first 2 percentile.
That's why I have to call. Tweet. That's why I have to call you every time something goes wrong with anything technical. You know, I can handle VCRs, but do people still have VCRs? I don't think so. I do for some strange reason.
You
but
have
anyway.
Like seven of them.
Yes, I do. I have seven of them. Just so I can put in that Braves and Pirates game from 1991, just for the heck of it. All right, yeah. So you have been listening to the press conference, I presume, correct?
Yeah, we did. I checked out the Larry Drew press conference. The Hawks hosted there at the practice court of Phillips Arena. And you know, Rick Sun spoke and Larry Drew spoke, and there were some pretty good questions from the assembled media there, and there was, you know, some good comments from the Hawks' new head coach.
So, anything earth-shattering? We read a couple of your tweets about what he had to say about Joe Johnson. That was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Well, it was good. I mean, one of the questions when the Hawks went through and made this decision to go with Larry Drew is, okay, well, the guy's been on the bench the entire time, you know, Mike Woodson was there. You know, if the guy had anything to change, why wasn't that addressed while Woodson was coach? And, you know, and if he is going to change some things, you know, what are some of those things going to be? And he did count. He did, you know, he could have been pandering to the masses who have been screaming about the team's heavy dependence on isolation offense and lack of ball movement. Drew acknowledged it, said he knew it was a problem. And one of the things that he's already going to do is install a new offense for the Hawks, one that's going to involve more movement, more motion, and will get the ball out of the hands of Joe Johnson so it's not stuck in Joe Johnson's hands. Now, before anybody jumps to conclusions and says, well, this obviously means Joe Johnson's coming back, it was an illustration of you know, if the current roster, if the roster from last year, if that offense had been in place, we would have seen less ISO Joe, ISO Josh, ISO everybody, and more ball movement, which was a positive thing to hear. Saying it's one thing, watching it in action is another. So we'll wait and see. But that was one thing. And then another item that he addressed was another thorn in the flesh of the Hawks was Josh Smith taking long jump shots. Ah. We all know that he gave up the three, but all he did was move two steps in and kept taking the same amount of long shots. Drew acknowledged it. In fact, he stopped, looked over. He said, I just saw Josh Smith walk in. He said, and one of the things we're going to address is, and he looked over at Josh, getting him off the perimeter, putting him in a position to be, and I quote, a little bit more effective. In other words, saying, he stinks out there. We're going to get him inside even more than he was last year. So, you know, those are a couple of very positive things that Drew addressed regarding specifics regarding the Hawks. And I think those are two things that people would agree were the most inefficient things that happened for the Hawks on the offensive end.
Now, what you've read so far from the players, how do you think this is going to be reacted to on the team?
Well, I think, you know, what you've seen is that the players have commented that, you know, they like Larry Drew and they're comfortable with him. And so I think they feel like there's not going to, even if Larry's going to change some of the things about the team, they know who he is and they know what they can expect from him. Certainly there's going to be a transition from being, as Jamal Crawford called him, a player's coach to, and Jeff Teague felt the same way, to being the man in charge. It's easy to be, you know, the good guy when you're not the one truly responsible. When it's your shot to call, you know, some people, you know, you become less of a player's coach and more, you know, more of the man in charge. But so there'll probably be some adjustment there. But certainly this is good. The players have to be excited about this because there's no unexpected. They know Larry Drew, even if he, you know, they may even know what he thinks about some of these things. So, you know, there's a comfort level there. And I'm sure the players, that's a very big positive for the players that will be left over from last year's team.
Jason Walker, our guest, PeachtreeHoops.com is the website. But let's call this what it is. We heard from early April that if the Hawks make a coaching change, this was going to be a cheap hire. The average coaching salary in the NBA is $3.4 million. And reportedly, Larry Drew will be making $1.2 million. This was a cheap hire. Pure and simple, was it not?
Well, you know, I think that what the Hawks would like to say is if they won't acknowledge the fact that they like to do things maybe less expensively than any other franchise, they would say this is a comfortable marriage of need and affordability. But certainly, you know, we identified it, you know, Bill, like you said, as far back from the beginning of the off season, is that whoever they would hire, it would not be, you know, they would probably defer toward the less expensive option. They certainly got that with a man who's going to make $1.2 million over, you know, each season for the next two seasons. So it's a short contract. It's an inexpensive contract. And if you have to be honest, it's a non-committal contract.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly didn't give Larry Drew carte blanche to do what he wanted to do. He's going to be paid less than probably most everybody that has at least a two-year contract on the Hawks. So, it puts him in a position to really have to prove himself before he gets even another contract. He's making less per year than Mike Woodson did it in any year of his previous 6 years as Hawks coach.
Jason Walker, our guest from PetrieHoops.com, and I believe 10 players in the Hawks roster made more than $1.2 million last year. I know they're going to say the right things in the press conference, or have probably said the right things in the press conference today to feel or to give us the feeling that everything's hunky-dory and that everybody was on board for this and all. But for us to hear since April that Dwayne Casey was going to be a favorite of this job, and that in addition to all the reports about the relationship with Son and Casey, isn't it logical to really wonder who made this call, whether or not it was Michael Guerin, or if there was a decision there, or whether there was so much dissension in ownership that they finally just said, well, you know what, we can always hire the cheap one?
Well, I think that there's definitely, if there's a characteristic that can define the Hawks ownership, management, what have you, it's, you know, they're risk averse. They, you know, they're not going to take big risk. They've shown that they're willing to spend money, but they don't want to do it on a risky proposition. And if they felt like, given the fact that Larry Drew knew this personnel and they were comfortable with what Larry Drew had proven in the interview process he could do on the court, then there would have to be a substantial reason to bring somebody on for a lot more money. Now, in the past week, we saw that they were going after Avery Johnson. In fact, when ESPN's Mark Stein reported that Avery was going to be hired by the Nets, it said the Hawks were regrouping, which would indicate that, you know, perhaps Avery Johnson, they would spend the money on an expensive coach if Avery Johnson were willing to come on board. I think in the end, you know, they just felt like the level of they didn't have to take a risk. They got a very low financial obligation. If it doesn't work out with Larry Drew, if somebody like, Doc Rivers becomes available after next season to coach, and they wanted to make a move, they're certainly in a financial position to be able to do that. They may not have been able to do that with any other coaching candidate like Dwayne Casey or Byron Scott, somebody like that. They may not have been in a flexible position. And remember, Larry Drew was willing to take the job today with the roster they have today, with the question of Joe Johnson not being resolved today.
Mm-hmm.
So with the draft coming up, with the fact that they had an easy transition into another coach at an affordable price, which gives them financial flexibility to maybe do something if it doesn't work out, or giving a guy a chance to prove himself, maybe he is the coach. That probably had a lot to do with why they made the decision that they made.
Well, and look, if we had not heard the rumors of what they may do with the search with regards to the type of finances that would be available to them, then I don't think it would matter as much to us of what he was getting paid. But since the report was out there and he is getting paid such a small amount compared to other NBA coaches, it's logical to wonder about that. Now, And, you know, I hope Larry Drew is the most successful. I hope he makes Red Auerbach look like Stan Albeck. I hope that Larry Drew is the most successful coach in the history of the league. But it's yet another reason to kind of question this ownership group because, Jay, I mean, we hoped that if they were going to let Mike Woodson go, that they would do so in order to improve the team. That's always the hope with any type of coaching move. I understand that.
Right.
But particularly when you're talking about a 53-win team, it's not like we're talking about a 33-win team where you're saying, come in and get them to 500. They're at 53 wins. They're in the second round. So a difference maker was the term, not necessarily relevant, but a difference maker. Now, is that person out there at a reasonable rate? I don't know. But you have to just hope they've made the right call here, and especially after knowing that Woodson lost the players. I mean, they weren't listening to him in that last round. That in his very easygoing, laid-back style, Larry Drew will be able to keep their ears open, right?
Yeah. You know, if he can get Josh Smith off, stop shooting those long jump shots. If he can get the offense moving, if Rick Sund is able to provide him with enough defensive players to stop switching on it, then, hey, you've made a big difference on the team. And maybe that is the type of thing that can keep the team settled. But the big question with whether they improve off 53 wins or not is what happens with that Joe Johnson position. What do they keep Joe Johnson? Do they get, if they decide they don't want to make a long-term financial obligation to Joe Johnson, what do they do at that point? Who do they get in perhaps a sign and trade? Or what do they do with the space available when Joe Johnson leaves? Those are the things that are going to determine whether Larry Drew is successful in terms of wins next year. But certainly if he could do those things, solidify the defensive end by resolving the constant switching, if he can get Josh Smith to go inside more and make the most efficient use of his talent. And, you know, if they can get the ball moving so that good defenses can't just settle in against an isolation offense, then Larry Drew will have been the difference maker that they were looking for.
Do you think, Jay, that he brings in an experienced guy who's had a little experience as a head coach before to help him out there? I mean, even Woodson did that. He brought in Larry Brown's brother, who was experienced just because he was old. But what do you think Drew will do with his coaching staff?
Well, he mentioned that he's just gathering names right now. And if you look at it, if you're an inexperienced coach without a lot of clout and a cheap contract, the last thing you want to do is bring in a guy that can take your place right away.
Yeah.
But then again, at least that's me. If I'm on a short two-year, $2.4 million guaranteed contract, then, you know, maybe that's not the thing that I may want to do. But he certainly, you know, maybe bring in somebody that's more of a defensive type of coach. If he's going to focus on offense, maybe bring in somebody to help out on the defense. Understanding is that Portland may be ready to let go of the guy that you can never remember his name, Dean Demopoulos.
Yeah, him
out
too.
There. He's more of a defensive guy.
Yeah.
There might be some connect, you know, bring in some guys like that. I think he's going to lean on, you know, long-time assistants that can help him in specific areas moving forward. But he's just gathering the names right now, and I guess we'll see. But he certainly was stressing the offense in his press conference.
Did Sun try to paint the picture that it was all their decision, and what was said about that?
He owned the decision. And obviously talked about, you know, what the committee, you know, obviously when you have a committee of owners, he makes the suggestion. And, he made it very clear that that was his suggestion to hire Larry. And, you know, what he did say was that the players, he kept the players out of it. And he kept the players out of the decision-making process. He basically wanted to let everybody know that this was his call, and he's very confident in it, and he sees a lot of the positives. He was able to articulate those.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm skeptical of that. Well,
you're talking about a guy that has no head coaching experience, that sat on the bench with the coach for six seasons, And, you know, none of these things that we've been saying for at least the last 3 years since the team has been good enough to comment on some of those where the talent level had gotten to the point where you could identify some of the flaws in the style. He was there for all of it. So certainly, while he's able to identify it and he's able to be very bold in pointing out something like Josh Smith shooting too many jump shots, you know, you wonder, can he get it? Can he make these things happen? You know, and like I said, it's easy to say, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of people with good reason will take a wait and see approach to Larry Drew. And if you listen to Larry Drew, that's all he wants is just that opportunity to be able to show people, whether, you know, that he can get this team to play better basketball.
Well, and I mean, he's inheriting a good team. Even if Joe Johnson goes, still a pretty good core roster. I mean, he's got to be excited about it, and you've got to hope that despite him being there, the injection of new leadership, maybe not new voice, because it, I mean, while he's going to preach different things, it's got to still be a little bit of the same voice, but new leadership has got to be in place in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and if he's able to do some of the things that the players felt like maybe needed to be done, that'll help. I think one of the things that wasn't addressed in the conference, and I think it'd be tough for him to be able to talk about publicly, is the one of the main things that was a problem in the locker room last year was what players said was different levels of accountability according to the player. So, you know, that's going to be something that Larry Drew is going to have to do internally is maybe address some of those things. And, you know, sometimes it can be done with the basketball. If you're moving the basketball around and you're taking it out of people's hands or but can he press Josh Smith? Can he hold Josh Smith accountable and make him a better player than he already is? Josh Smith's playing at an all-star level already. Can he make him a better player and be able to hold him accountable? That will be interesting. But certainly, Larry Drew's making the most of the start, the fresh start that he has. He's, you know, this is the time where he can, this very beginning when you're hired and you're talking to the players for the first time, this is his time to mold what kind of coach he's going to be, and that'll go a long way to how well he's able to hold these guys accountable and what kind of changes he's going to be able to make.
Jason Walker is with us. PetrieHoops.com is the website. We're going to take a break. Before we do, Jason's going to stick around with us, and we'd like to get your thoughts on the hiring of Larry Drew. Is this a good call on the part of Rick Sun and the Atlanta Hawks ownership group? Will this guy be a difference to put the Hawks in position to maybe be an even better team than they were in 2009, 2010?